Well, great. It's so nice to be with you again, and hope everyone is well. Praying for you as you search for a new pastor, that God would lead the right person here to glorify his name and build your church. I want to thank you for your prayers and support of ministry at the jail. Things are going really well there. A lot of people are coming to the Lord, growing in Christ. We encourage them to do the Bible lessons. We give out 350 of them. And on completion of those, we give them a brand new study Bible. So we've given out a lot of those, and a lot of people have, you know, we're encouraging them to use their time, not let time use them. So the more they're there, the longer they can grow in the Word and learn in there. I teach 5 Bible studies a week, but they have 9 because we have volunteers that come in the evenings and on the weekends when I'm not around. So they get fed very well, and we hope to make disciples that will go out and glorify God in the churches to where they'll attend upon release. So again, I want to thank you for that, and thank you for your prayers and support. As I was looking at this passage in the Gospel of John, it occurred to me how important it is to our Lord and Savior Jesus that we bear fruit. Did everybody get that from the reading? You know, that he wants us to bear fruit, and he's going to prune us. The Greek word is literally cleanse us, so we will bear more fruit. And eventually he wants us to bear much fruit. And by this, our Father in heaven is glorified. I know I've mentioned this before, but those of you that are familiar with the Westminster Catechism, one of the questions in there is the question, what is the chief purpose of man? You know, why am I here? And the answer to that question is anybody remember? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So when we're doing that, when we're glorifying God, we're on top of the mountain. It's like being on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses, Elijah, you know, and it's glorious and great. When we're not glorifying him, you know, we tend to be down and wondering where God is. It's usually a matter of focus. When our focus is on others, or on a problem, or on ourselves, you know, we tend to, when we lose focus like that, we're not glorifying God, and we tend to be down. We're wondering, where is God? Why am I reading the Word? Why is he not speaking to me? Where are you, Lord? But when our focus gets back on Christ, where it should be, then we can glorify God. And in this passage, he tells us that we can glorify him by being fruitful. So, the question naturally arises, what does it mean to bear fruit? And before we look, I have some couple verses I want to look at. There are several different meanings to this bearing fruit. But as you're thinking about this, what comes to mind? How do we bear fruit? Anybody got an idea? Thought come to mind? There are a lot of answers. I'm sorry? The Spirit. Okay, that's... the Spirit produces fruit in us. That is something the Spirit does. We'll look at that in a minute. But the Spirit produces fruit. But he wants us to be fruitful. Yeah. Well, that's true. In the beginning, it was told to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. And that's true. Even as we come into Christ, he wants us to go forth and share his word. Remember his last marching orders before he ascended unto heaven. He said, as you are going, I want you to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. So even in Christ, he wants us to be fruitful and multiply. And that's one of the verses we're going to look at, probably the first one, most important. He wants us to reproduce. Yeah, he wants us to share his gospel. You had a hand way back there, and then you? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the second verse we're going to look at. Yeah. Right. And that's something that the Holy Spirit does. Now, if we're a Christian and we've received Christ as our Lord and Savior, The Holy Spirit comes into us. Can I get an amen or not? And that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, naturally, love, peace, joy, you know, gentleness, long-suffering, patience, kindness, all these things should be coming out. It's not like, well, I got some of these fruits. No, it's the fruit singular of the Spirit. We should have all these things. But that's something the Spirit produces. What I want to look at is how we are to be fruitful. And this was interesting. Let's turn to, going to look at a couple of verses here. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1 and look at a couple verses there. Colossians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 6 and then 10. Now in verse 6, Paul has just got through giving an introduction to this letter he writes to the church at Colossae. And he talks about giving thanks to God, praying always for them. And he says in verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which, he says, has come to you as it has in also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you. You're being fruitful. Since the day you heard the gospel and knew the grace of God in truth. So these people at Colossae, when they received the gospel went out from them and they were bearing fruit. They were fruitful in sharing the gospel. Now notice what he says in verse 10 also. Let's pick it up in verse 9. Paul is going to pray for them. Notice what he says. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? Watch verse 10. You might want to underline this. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful, how? In every good work. I want you to remember that, because this is going to pop up all over the sacred pages of Scripture. Bearing fruit in every good work or in every good deed. And increasing in the knowledge of God. What I've learned as I was looking at this passage and looking at what it means to be fruitful is we're going to see all throughout the pages here of Scripture how we bear fruit. The way we do this, well, mostly is sharing the gospel and seeing others come to Christ. But secondly, is doing good deeds, doing good works. Now, let me just say at the outset here, we're not doing the good deeds or the good works to get to heaven. Can I get an amen? That's not what we're talking about here. But because we are going to heaven, because of what Christ did, we should be doing these good deeds, these good works. Can I get a nod or an amen? They're important. Christ is going to talk about this. It's going to be all over the pages of Scripture. This is why many churches have fallen into legalism, where some churches even teach, if you want to go to heaven, do good deeds. You know, there are churches that teach that. I'm not here to proclaim that. I'm simply saying, if you are a Christian and you've been saved by the grace of God, you should be doing good deeds. You should be fruitful. Can I get an amen? Now, watch what else he said. Let me give you another verse. Go to Titus for a moment. Titus, after Colossians, comes the five T books, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and then Titus. And let me just say, in this book of Titus, in this letter that Paul wrote to Titus, you're going to see good deeds, good works pop up 5-6 times. Encourage your believers to do this. Remember them to do good works. You know, not to be saved. We're saved by grace, through faith, and that is not of good works, not of yourselves, lest anyone should boast. But he talks about doing these good deeds. In fact, let me just give you, the main verse, verse 14 of chapter 3. This is how he closes the letter. He says, and let our people also learn to maintain what? And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be what? Unfruitful. Again, if we're going to be fruitful, maintain good works. Let me give you a one-liner right now that you might want to write down. It was one that I was taught by my teacher who discipled me in the Word of God with the Navigator series. And he said this, I never forgot it. He said, a good servant is observant. He or she sees a need and runs to the occasion. How can I help you, brother, sister? How can I be there? You know, this is how we bear fruit, by doing good works, by doing good deeds. And there are many things we can do on this, but before we leave it, let me just again, in this letter to Titus, let me encourage you to circle at least a couple of numbers of verses here. Notice chapter 2, verse 7. Again, Paul writing to Titus says, in all things, show yourself to be a pattern of good works. All right, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility, so forth. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself for himself, his own special people, zealous for what? Good works. Chapter 3, verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Chapter 3, verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that you who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. And then, of course, again, verse 14, let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. So, if we're going to be fruitful, good works, good deeds are a part of it. Now, again, let me just make sure we understand this. I am not up here saying that you need to do good deeds and good works to be saved. I am not saying this. Is everybody with me? Can I get a nod? But I am saying this. I'm saying what the Word of God says. If you are a Christian, you should be fruitful. And the way you're going to be fruitful is to do good deeds and good works. Is everybody with me? This is what Jesus talked about in John, that he wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be fruitful. Now, go backwards to Galatians for a moment. Galatians 5, and let's look at the fruit of the Spirit, all right? There's something the Spirit does. Let's make sure we see this. Galatians chapter 5, and notice verse 22 and 23. This is something the Spirit produces. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and verse 23, where Paul writes to the church at Galatia. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. All right, that's the fruit of the Spirit. If we have the Holy Spirit in us, that is what the fruit produces. You know, we should have this love, peace, and joy. Amen? I mean, this is why we do the good deeds. You know, if we didn't have love for someone, We wouldn't do anything good for anyone. Can I get an amen? This is not hard. Can I get a nod? You know, if you're a Christian and you have the Holy Spirit and God has shed abroad his love or put his love into your heart so that the cup is running over, you know, the love has to go out, all right? Love is not something you keep. I'm reminded of the song Michael Smith, a contemporary artist, wrote, or he sang at least on a CD I heard. And I just remember the words. The words went like this. Love is not love unless you give it away. Can I get a nod? If you say you're full of, if you say you've got plenty of love, you're full of love and everything, and you're a selfish person, you're missing the boat, Jack. You're a sick person. You don't need a pastor. You need a shrink. There's something wrong with your brain. Because love is not something you keep. Love is something you give away. Can I get a nod? You know, it's not nothing you keep. You know, a selfish person has really no business in the kingdom. You know, it's something you have to give. We get the gospel, the good news. Is it something we keep for ourselves? Or is it something we share with whosoever? This is not hard. Yeah, we give it away. We give it away. And we are observant to do good deeds, to share the blessed gospel, to do the good deeds, to be fruitful. Now, again, we're in Galatians. Go one page over to Ephesians chapter 2. And let me just again state what Paul states to the church at Ephesus. Just so again, I can't reinforce this enough. I'm not saying you got to do good deeds to get to heaven. I'm not saying that. I'm talking to the Christian today. If you are a Christian and you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit has come into you, then God wants you to be fruitful. And the way you do this, again, is sharing the gospel and through good deeds or good works. This is how we're fruitful. And Jesus wants us to be fruitful. So look at what he says in Ephesians. Again, Paul writes by the Spirit of God to the church at Ephesus in chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves," nothing to do with you. "It is the gift of God." Can I get an amen? That's how we're saved, by grace through faith in Christ. It is the gift of God. "It is not of works," not of works, there it is, not of good works, "that anyone should boast," saying, "Well, the reason God saved me is I'm a good person. I've done all these good things." No, wrong. We're not saved by good works. We're saved by grace through faith. But if we're really saved by grace through faith, we should be fruitful. Amen? This is not hard. Give me a nod. Show me you're with me. We got to do good deeds. If you don't like doing good deeds, you're not going to like being a Christian. You're going to be a very miserable Christian. You're going to be very unhappy. If you don't love other people, you're going to be very unhappy, miserable, useless, unfruitful. Now, look at verse 10. And I'm assuming everybody's memorized these verses, 2, 8, and 9. Everybody should have memorized these as a baby Christian. "For we are saved by grace through faith, and it is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." But notice verse 10, and you should take out your pens and underline. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for" what? If you want to know why am I here, why did God pull me out of darkness into his marvelous light, why did God save me? Well, here it is. To do good works. Now again, we're not doing them to be saved. Please make sure. I don't want to get stoned when I walk out the door here. I'm not preaching works to be saved. I'm saying if we are a Christian, we should be doing good deeds, good works. You know, I was recently down in Florida at a conference earlier this year, and I went to the pastor's house for lunch. And we were sitting around his pool, and he was telling me about his neighbor. He had bought a ride lawnmower. He had moved there 5 years ago, started his church, left Central Baptist in Middleborough, and went down and started a church, him and another buddy. So they started this church, a couple of people in a house, and seven people, and then, you know, 5 years later, 250 people. So, and here's how they did it. Listen carefully. We're sitting down at lunch, and he says he moved here 5 years ago, got a nice place, built his house, built the other house, and I was like, wow, this is awesome. He says, you know, I bought this rider mower 5 years ago. I said, no kidding. He says, yeah, I was mowing a lawn one day, and I noticed next door, the other person's lawn, the grass was tall. So he said, I just drove right across the driveway, went into his yard, and mowed his lawn. And I said, that's awesome, man. And he said, you know, and I next week I went out there, did it again. I noticed the grass was high and did it again. Then I saw him one day coming out. He was on crutches. He had, you know, had some surgery or something, and he couldn't do it. So I just kept doing it. He said, and I kept doing it. And I did it for 4 years. 4 years. You want to know something I've learned about fruit? Is if you plant a tomato seed in the ground today, you're not going to pick a tomato tomorrow. Can I get an amen? There's a process. So he mowed his lawn for 4 years. Finally, one day, the guy says, you know, he came out and said, you know, I really want to appreciate all you know, what you've been doing. And, you know, what do you do for work anyway? Who are you? He says, well, I'm a pastor. I have a church down street at this high school. We're meeting at a high school right now. And he said, really? He says, what's the name of it? He told him. He says, "What? I know the place. What time does your service start? He told him, 9 o'clock, and two services, actually. And he said, gee, thank you. I think I'll be there someday. And he came Sunday, and the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, and after hearing the gospel a few times, came forward and got saved. You know? Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Be a peculiar people, zealous for good deeds, for good works. Because that's how we glorify God. That's how we bear fruit and glorify God. Is everybody with me? Many of you know I was saved in a jail, and in the old jail, there was a big farm. There was probably 30 acres, and there were cows, milkers, there were cow for beef, and there were pigs, and there were horses, and a lot of field to till and to plant, you know, crops. And I remember going there out on the farm in the summertime, it's early spring rather, and we're tilling the ground, and when we were all done, we were given seeds to plant. And I remember getting this Cool Whip container that had these seeds in it. And I picked up one of the seeds, and it was dried up, and I crumbled it with between my finger and thumb, and it turned to dust. And I thought to myself, gee, if you want to plant some seed, man, get some real seed. This stuff is no good. And he said, just plant it, you know. So I planted it. And lo and behold, after a few weeks, the blade, and then all of a sudden, a few months later, the plant and the abundant squash for as far as you could see. And I was amazed. And all of a sudden, the verses were coming alive in the Bible. The sower went out to sow. And notice what it says here. Go to Matthew for a moment. Matthew chapter 13. And notice what it says here. In Matthew 13, there's five or six parables, actually six or seven parables in a row. Bing, 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 bing. And the first one, of course, is the parable of the sower. And you know the story. The sower went out to sow. Jesus is preaching. He sees a man sowing seed. And he says, look, behold, the sower went out to sow. Object lesson. Look over there. See the guy? The sower went out to sow. And some seed fell among the beaten path. And the birds of the air saw it, swooped down, had lunch, and left. And another seed fell among the rocks. And it sprang up. But because there was no depth of soil, the sun rose up and scorched it, and it died. Some other seed now fell among the thorns, and it sprouted up, but so did the thorns, and it wrapped around and choked it, and they too died. But then some seed fell on the good soil. And as he's explaining this, pick it up in chapter 13, verse 23. As Jesus is explaining the parable to his disciples, he says, but he who received the seed on the good ground is he or she who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears what? Fruit, and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now let me tell you the secret I learned about the dead seed in the Cool Whip container. Look at John, Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 24. Here's what I've learned. As I was working on the farm, I'm a baby Christian, I'm reading the Bible, And all of a sudden, the verses are coming alive, like this parable of the sower, and like this verse in John chapter 12, verse 24, where Jesus says these words. Notice what he says. He said, most assuredly, or another version says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Here's the secret I've learned. That the Christian who has learned to die to self will bear fruit. But the Christian who's still living his own life, his or her own life in the world, not putting God first, but me first, me, myself, and I, by the way, unfruitful. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing. As long as the seed is alive, nothing will happen. Put a fresh cucumber seed in the ground. Watch, nothing will happen. The same with the tomato seed. Put a fresh seed in the ground. It's useless. It's no good. Put a dead seed in the ground and watch what happens. That's why we got to remember that we have died with Christ. Remember what Paul said? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, when we realize that I am dead to the world and dead to sin, and I am alive unto God, we will be fruitful. But as long as you're alive and you're only thinking of me, myself, and I, you will never bear fruit. It will never happen. Going back to the jail, when I worked on the farm and saw all this miraculous growth of crops and everything, I was just amazed. I was amazed. I was a city boy. Never seen this. So when I went home, when I got out of jail, I went back and lived with my mom and dad. And because previously I was living in sin. So I went back and lived with my mother and father. And I noticed in the backyard, my father had a little 10-by-10 plot, a little garden. Well, I pulled up the fence, the stakes in the fence, and I tilled the whole backyard. 3/4 of an acre, because I wanted to be a farmer. And I planted 123 tomato plants. Don't ask me what I was thinking. I just wanted to be a farmer, right? I worked on the farm. I loved working on the farm and watching these things grow. And so I planted 123 tomatoes. This is just tomatoes. I planted squash, cucumbers, peppers, you name it. And I had this huge garden, and I took care of it, and when harvest time came, all of a sudden I was like, uh-oh. What were you thinking? And so I got way too much crops. So my father showed me how to blanch the tomatoes. And so I did some of that and froze them. But I mean, still, I got way too much. So I got this idea. I went into the kitchen, grabbed some lunch bags, and I put in some tomatoes, a cucumber, some squash, and started going down to the houses. We lived on a dead-end street. We were the only single family. There were 3 or 4 tenement buildings, and I began delivering vegetables to everybody's door. And after a week or so, I got this bright idea, hey, let's stick a track in there. So I stuck some tracks in, and I started delivering them. And after a couple weeks, I remember going up to the third floor next door, and as I was going up the stairs, it was old, it was creaky, and as it creaky stairs, I heard the door open, and the lady says, oh, so you're the one. I says, yeah, I hope you don't mind. I got too many tomatoes and, thought I'd share them. She says, no, thank you, I appreciate them. She said, but my husband, he doesn't really like those little booklets. I said, well, I don't have to put those in. She says, no, I want you to leave them in. See, he's a Muslim, I'm a Christian. And when I'm not looking, I see him reading them, so I says, okay, I'll keep doing that. So I kept putting them in there. So I went over to the next house on the other side, second floor, and there were 2 women living there. One was a lesbian. The other one was a heroin addict. And I was going up the stairs, again, they're creaky. Door opens, they hear it. She says, oh, so it's you. I says, hi, how are you? I got too many vegetables, thought I'd... She says, no, we appreciate it. Hey, those little booklets in there, you got any more of those? I said, I got a bunch of them, man. So I go next door, bring over the whole shebang, lay them on the table, and they read them. The next night I'm over there, we're opening the Bible, I lead them both to Christ. It was only 4 months later, after they came to Christ, that the lesbian, who had changed her life, was on the Phil Donahue show. I was at home watching it. And she sat up in the front row while the people yelling and screaming at each other, you know, you're born this way, you can't change. And, of course, the other side saying, no, you can change, and it's a matter of choice, and this and that. And they're going back and forth, and Jean sat in the front pew like a little mouse, didn't say a peep. At the end of the show, while they're screaming and yelling at each other, and the music's coming on, she jumped up and screamed, you can change, and I'm living proof. And she had her Bible in her hand. And I sat there at home with the tears rolling down my face. Not long after that, the heroin addict also accepted Christ. She was getting married. She met a Christian man at the church. She was getting married, and my wife, she didn't have a dress. My wife gave her old wedding dress. She got married. Later, my wife and I had a child, and we went with the church we were attending, Brookville Baptist. We went up into the balcony, which was glassed in. So if you had a young child, you were encouraged to go up there. So if the child started crying, you wouldn't disturb anybody. Go feed them, whatever. Come back in the balcony, and you can hear the message. So we go up there for the first time, and as we walk into the balcony, down in the front is the Christian woman with her former Muslim husband. And I looked at her, she goes, hey, he's a Christian. This is what it means to be fruitful. Is everybody with me? Now, I'm not saying go tear up your backyard and plant 123 tomato plants. I'm not saying that. Don't, please, don't miss the boat here. But I am saying this. Think, not just of yourself, but think of Christ first, then think of others, and then yourself. In fact, if I can give you a little one-liner, joy. J for Jesus, O for others, Y for you. If you can remember this, you will be fruitful. You will bear fruit. You will fill this place, and you'll have two or three services until you've got to start looking for another place. But this is what it means to be fruitful. Don't just think about the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. Don't do that. Because you will be unfruitful. You will be useless for God. But if we're going to be fruitful, let us remember to maintain good works, good deeds for others. You know, when I got out of jail, in this church, Brookville Baptist, we were at, everybody was encouraged to get involved in ministries, which I hope you are here. And so I was involved in several ministries, and one of them was a softball league where they had different churches that had softball teams with unsaved members on their team, and they would come and play, and at the end of the game, everybody would gather around home plate. Well, they'd gather around home plate at the beginning to pray, then they'd go out and play, and when the game was over, they'd gather around home plate again, and somebody would give their testimony. And so I watched this for a while, and I said, you know, I told the pastor, I said, man, you know, I like basketball, man. Could I start a basketball league? He said, go for it. So I called for it. I called a few churches. I got like 10 churches the first year, 14 the next year. And I told him, I said, now listen, don't just get Christians on your team. Will you get some unsaved people? You know, we want to reach out. This is the Christian Basketball Outreach League. We want to outreach out to people. You know, the person you say church, they run. You say basketball, they're right there. Get them on your team. So we did that. And we'd have two games a night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night, three times a week. I had hired referees, got some uniforms. And at the end of the first game, while the two teams just finished and the other two teams were waiting, I'd say, hey, Joe, give your testimony. You know, and some would say, oh, Dan, you know, I don't know if I'm really ready for that right now. I said, okay, well, next, just get ready because in 2 weeks you're on. So I saw some pew sitters start to get a little excited about God, start doing something, anything. And then there were those who would give their testimony, and there were people who would listen, and they were coming to Christ. People would say, wow, you know, I never heard that before. And so I remember on one occasion, after about 3 years now of doing this, 3 years I did this, and I'd bring these sweaty uniforms home every night and wash them, get ready for the game again the next night. I did this for 3 years. And one day, a person was giving his testimony, and there were a couple people talking up on the balcony. And I remember they were talking, and they were joking and loud, and they were disturbing the thing. So I says, hey, yo, you mind being cool, quiet up there? People trying to hear the gospel down here. And so they stopped and listened. One of them was Larry. He was a guy who graduated school, college, had a good job, manager, had a house, had a wife, had a car, had everything going for him. What do I need God for? But all of a sudden, he listened that night. And when it was over, he said, I need to talk to you, man. Are you saying that all have sinned and everybody will go to hell and Jesus died for our sins? That's the only way that we will be saved from hell? I said, absolutely. And me and Arnaldo sat down with him and led him to Christ that night. He continued his managerial position and later on went off to college, was ordained, and now he's the pastor of that church in Holbrook at Brookville Baptist. The other guy, Mark, who was with him, Mark Lundquist, you might have saw on TV a few years ago, he was going to South Shore Baptist and started to get excited about God. And after Katrina hit, he went into building. He was a built houses. After Katrina hit, he had an idea. He said, you know, look at all them people. The home's all devastated, washed up, gone. He said, you know, I can't help all those people, but I could help a couple. So he got a bunch of churches together. They got some money, some people, and they used the Weymouth Air Force Base and built 5 houses, prefab. Put them on a truck, drove down there, and put them on the concrete, the foundations that were built. He did 5 houses. You know, let me give you a little poem. I don't know who wrote it, but I got it cut out. This is my other Bible at home. I taped it on the inside. It goes like this. I am only one, comma, but I am one. And then the next line says, I can't do everything, comma, but I can do something. And then the last line goes something like, and just because I can't do everything, that's not going to stop me from doing the something that I can. That's what Mark did. That's what I did one night. I was at a concert downtown Plymouth. Christian artist was singing. And he was really big into world vision. And he made the statement, you know, there are a lot of people over there. You know, and I thought about that. You know, there's a lot of people starving in Africa, and I can't feed them all, but I can do one. What if everybody did that? Would we be fruitful? This is not hard. This would be, you know, a good servant is observant. And when you see a need and you can help somebody, you can show some of the love that you have in you, do it. Do it for the glory of God and you will be fruitful. And God will be glorified. Let me just turn your attention to one more passage and we'll wrap it up, but go to Matthew chapter 7, where Christ is proclaiming the Sermon on the Mount. And in the end of this Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 7, notice verses 17 through 20, where Jesus says, even so, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Christopher Columbus, when he came over to America, observed that there was a certain tree in the land. And it was a tree that the Indians gave this name, Kuachucha, something like that. I can't pronounce, something like that. And what it meant in Indian was weeping tree. Because the tree emitted sap, and the sap came down and hung from the tree, and it looked like tears. It looked like the tree was crying. And so some people, looked at this stuff and found that if they took some of this sap and allowed it to harden, that it would rub out pencil marks, hence the name rubber. Later on, after the cars were invented and needed tires, they found if they added sulfur to this rubber tree, that they could produce tires. And then later on, surgical latex gloves and so forth and everything else. This tree only needed to be discovered, and it was bearing this good fruit. You know, we too, if we're a good tree, we'll bear good fruit, amen? How will we do it? Well, I gave you two top ways, the two most important, I think, sharing the gospel, of course, and doing good deeds, doing good works, looking to love and help people, sharing love with people, your enemies, your friends, your neighbors, with whosoever, with the hope that they may say, you know, where do you go to church, or what is it about you? What do you got that, why are you so different from everybody else? What do you have that I don't? And that opens the door to share the gospel, that others may come to Christ and grow in Him. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for reminding us that we are to be fruitful. That as long as we remain in you, we are the branches and you are the vine. As long as we remain in you, we stay in you, we dwell in you, we live in you, we will bear fruit. But of course, apart from you, we can do nothing. But as you said, Lord, if we abide in you, we stay in you, we remain in you, and your word stays in us, it remains in us, it lives in us, it dwells in us, then we can ask whatever we wish, and it shall be done. And Lord, I know you want us to bear fruit, that we can glorify our Father. As we have entered into worship this morning, I pray that we would depart to serve, and that we would be good servants who are observant. And when we see an opportunity where we can show love and kindness and mercy and grace, that we would do so, so that others may see Christ. It is in His name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.